Hello, my friends. I am so excited to be here with you today. And I'm just letting you know that I'm actually on vacation this week. I'm probably in the Everglades right now, but I wanted to finally release this episode that I did with Ina Siegel. And she's an incredible author. She's out in Australia. So some of you may not have heard of her, but those of you who have would love her book, The Secret Language of the Body. That is a book that I got into right at the beginning of, I think, 2020. And so it was definitely something that shaped me and also helped Aspen. And I do go into that into the episode. So I'm going to go ahead and let that play now because it is super long. She was incredibly giving of her time. So I am going to go ahead and put this in a two-part series. But it is one cohesive conversation, so it's going to be hard to find a great place for that to end and start the next. So if you're listening to part two, please go back and listen to part one so things are in better context. But I am going to go ahead and release them both simultaneously. So this is one. Know that part two will be out very, very soon, okay? All right, guys, I hope you enjoy, and we will talk soon. Hey friend, welcome to Deep Healing for Creative Entrepreneurs. My name is Aubrey Barr and I am a subconscious release technique practitioner and photography business owner. I know you are sick of ending your day feeling overwhelmed and exhausted, and you are seeking a solution to help you feel creatively inspired and actively engaged in your business as well as personal life. In this podcast, we are going to dig into any limiting beliefs or subconscious programs that are keeping you in a space filled with anxiety and stress. This work is not a temporary solution for your life. No, this is a complete transformation. So grab your coffee or tea and let's start you on the road to healing. And let me just say, you can do this. You are worth it. And you are meant to thrive in life and business. So let's dig in.
Thank you, Aubrey. Nice to be with you as well. And I'd love to hear that story from your daughter as well. but yeah, my background is when I was younger, when I was a teenager, I was having a lot of issues in terms of my health, and had really bad back pain, digestive issues, anxiety, and I had psoriasis all over my skin. And so I felt like as I was getting older, it was getting worse, and I was just going round and round in circles looking for answers from somebody else. And like often, you know, when things happen, I ended up visiting a chiropractor who was probably, one of those life-changing experiences where he basically said, you know, your body's stuck, go home, there's nothing it can do to help you. And in that moment, I think that was one of those big changes for me, because I realized that as long as I was relying on somebody else and I was focused on them doing the work to help me and fix me, I wasn't actually going to get healed. And that I needed to take responsibility, not responsibility from a perspective of blame, you know, but responsibility from the perspective of how do I change my life? You know, how do I participate in my own journey of healing? That's what I mean by responsibility. And through that experience, I had a deep realization that there was real wisdom within our body soul experience. And when I say body soul, I talk a lot about the body, the soul, and the spirit and the subtle bodies. But what I'm really saying in terms of physical health is that there is something that we need to understand from the wisdom of the soul. And it's not just the body. The body contains the different parts, the organs, you know, it can get sick, but it gets sick, you know, through what actually happens to the soul, whereas the spirit part of us doesn't get sick. And this is what I'm not including in this, in saying it. But essentially, I had tapped into the language, you know, the body soul experience and the wisdom of it. And I was able to heal myself. But essentially, I realized that as I connected to myself and was able to see into my body and what was happening in terms of my back, and also just understanding what caused this problem, which was the worst part of it at the time, and then what caused the skin problem, which was much more ancestral, was the back was more very inner child type of, I don't belong, I don't feel supported, I don't know how to be myself in the environment that I've been, I guess, where I've been taken out of and flopped into, and, you know, not feeling safe, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, the skin, you know, something that my grandfather had, my father has, his sister had, my father's sister, my aunt. So I knew there was an ancestral element there of things that had not been acknowledged, spoken about, dealt with. There was a lot of anger and resentment, which is what creates, what often will, you know, create a skin condition. But, you know, I always say to people, anger is the end result. It's not the beginning of something. And so there was a lot of delving and exploring and understanding the memories, the traumas, the themes, essentially, the perspectives that I've taken on. And at times it's interesting. You get messages on Facebook from when I post something from people saying, oh, you know, you can't just go back and re-experience trauma. And it's like, well, only somebody, you know, would say that, essentially, because, you know, there's truth in that. But nobody who's done 20 years of work would just take you back into a re-experience of trauma, you know, because that makes no sense. You're actually, what you're looking for when you're doing healing work, and what essentially I do for myself and have done for, you know, countless people, is to find a perspective that you're holding onto, which is actually connected to not one event. Mostly, you know, people think it's the core event, it's one. There's no such thing. It's like there's countless events. You know, you might have one that is a hugely traumatic, but usually there's a lot that led to it. And so, you know, it's not like we just re-experience one event and then see. We actually are looking for all those experiences and events and difficulties. What is the point of view? What is the perspective that's created it? And when I say perspective, you know, I'm talking about, you know, this is when it becomes more archetypal. Are we talking about a perspective of a child, or are we talking about a perspective of potentially a victim, which is a huge one, you know, that I see life through a victim, you know, point of view, full of struggle, full of challenges. And so it's not so much about just, you know, somebody posted recently, you've got to dissolve the trauma. How? I'm like, I don't know how you like dissolve an experience that happened to you. Come on. It's like you can release the charge of what happened to you, release the energy, but there's still an experience and the idea is to get the wisdom from it, as well as to really change the perspective. And since I've been doing this since I was 21, for quite a few years, I have seen, you know, tens of thousands of people shift. So I'm very aware of how things work and, you know, and the detail that's involved and the different perspectives that are involved in it. And so I guess, you know, the journey has been healing myself and then realizing that ability I awaken into seeing into myself. I also awaken into seeing into other people and spending the last 20 years in understanding details.
Yeah.
You know,
there's like so many good gems in there. I'm like, first off, yes, like 100% everything you said. But it's just so amazing to hear you talk about it, because when I got your book, I totally was like, I have a lot of spiritual gifts. Everybody does, right? And when we tap into them, when we're in tune, when we're grounded, then we get to make them bigger. We get to expand on them, and we can always expand. And one thing that I'm pretty good at is discernment. And I got your book and I'm like, okay, everything's real. This is all like 100% true. The way that you describe some of the like disease that we have and the symptoms that are associated with, and when you talk about ancestral traumas, this has been my experience too, that some things are actually just passed down to us, not to make it sound smaller or bigger or anything, but that's just the way it is. And so we have to be able to release those too, which is kind of a big burden. But you mentioned coming from a place of blame, and I agree 100%. We can't ever come from a place of blame, because there's no healing in blame, right? That's just always on someone else. And you talked about someone responding to one of your comments or something like that. And, you know, everybody is in their own space of needing to heal from something, and they clearly, you know, needed to. And maybe they need to open their eyes to what that means for them, you know? So I love what you said. I think it's so beautiful that you not only discovered this at such a young age, which I only discovered it when I was like in my 30s, you know? So that's pretty amazing.
It's great.
Because you have so many years expanding then, right? And then
it's good.
I know, right? Yeah, it's fine. But then you chose also to share it with other people. I mean, it's kind of hard for a lot of us to put ourselves out there and say, yeah, this is what I believe. This is what my experiences are. This is what I've seen from other people. And therefore, it's part of my belief system now. It's hard sometimes to share some of this stuff with people, because they get so, you know, triggered, for lack of a better word. They get so in themselves, you know? So I have to tell you, you have like a lot of courage. Some of your posts, I'm like, love, love, love. But not everybody's in a place to hear it, you know? So it's kind of crazy.
That's why I usually circulate things, you know. Sometimes it's very easy to digest stone, and then other times it's like, let's stretch a little bit, you know, and let's make things a little bit more interesting, because there's so much. I think you were asking, you know, where am I at right now? So right now I've got this new book called Understanding Modern Spirituality, then just came out.
I don't have it yet. I don't have it yet. It looks beautiful. Like the cover art and everything is very beautiful.
Thank you. And essentially, you know, when I was doing a lot of publicity around this book in the last several months, one of the questions that was coming up was, you know, why would you call it modern spirituality? And a huge part of it has been my observation in the last several years of how we want to simplify everything, and we want to paint one perspective for things, or want to dumb things down, or, you know, again, want to argue with somebody without actually understanding what they know or their whole story, or delve into the different layers of depth of who we are. And so to me, it's always this exploration between the past, and I'm very aware of the wisdom of the past and how much, you know, there is so much to learn from the past. But I'm also aware that at the same time, there are things that should also be left in the past and that have been progressive. And it's really vital that we focus on the present and the future in a balanced way, and actually kind of go, whatever the information or the wisdom that we've gained from the past, the question is always, how is this relevant now? How is this supportive of my journey and growth right now? And also my future. So for instance, there's a lot of people talking about past lives, for example, and there's countless books that have been written about the topic. It always fascinates me that, you know, there'd be such a focus on somebody's other lives with you know, and I understand it's interesting, but without the awareness that, you know, who should go into a past life, why would you, what would make you want to go into that exploration? When is it safe to go into that exploration? In what is the reason for going there, you know, as opposed to looking at your present life? And even most importantly, I've almost literally heard, you know, very, very, very little, if nothing, from people talking about what's my future life going to be like? Because, like, well, your past life is gone. And again, you know, like maybe at times, and I think it can be helpful in certain very difficult situations with a person or health conditions that are not healing, no matter what you try, to look into that exploration. But essentially, or even to understand who you are, once you've done quite a bit of internal work and strengthened who you are here and your sense of self, but what about what you're creating for the future, both this life? And if you believe that there is another life, then how much focus have you put onto what is my future life going to be like, and what am I doing to create a good one?
I love that. It's, you know, it's funny because I totally agree with that, and I think sometimes people will use that as a crutch, like almost escapism, to not deal with what's going on now or what they can do to set themselves up for the future, whatever. So yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, I personally haven't felt inclined to worry about it, but I do. I mean, I do a lot of work on myself. I do a lot of inner work, and I have found that branch into ancestral work quite a bit. Like, it was just the next part. But as far as past lives, yeah, I haven't really felt the need, the desire. You know, I tried to go wherever my heart tells me to go. So, but that's interesting. I do see it a lot. I see it all the time. So you added that in your book too, then, about past lives.
Well, yeah. And in particular about, you know, focusing on what you're creating as opposed to constantly trying to go back into the past. And even if you do, it should only be done in order to understand the present and to become a better human.
That is so good. I love that. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love it. That's so perfect. I will definitely get the book. And I also saw you have some cards. You have some like color cards I didn't know you had. I guess
I have a lot of cards.
Oh, you have more than
color cards. I've got healing yourself cards, which are, have quite a bit of an archetypal, very deep internal wisdom. I have ones called mystical healing, which is really about understanding more of your spiritual aspect. I've got, in the last year, I had soul healing, the secret of your soul cards, which is actually really supportive of the book that you were mentioning, The Secret Language of Your Body. And, you know, for years, people have said to me, you know, can you rewrite it? Can you add stuff to it that you've learned? And it was kind of like, I'm going to create a card deck event, you know, which I did, which took several years to do, that take it into this, you know, other explorations and where I'm at now in terms of real internal understandings. So that's the See the Language of Your Soul cards. And then just now, like literally, I think a day ago or something, I saw that I also have cards called Heal Your Heart Oracle cards, and they're very different. In fact,
I love that. I think I would use those ones for sure.
Yes.
I have to remind my heart chakra to open sometimes.
Yeah. But this is, Healing Heart Oracle cards. And they are beautiful.
And did you get these? Is it on your website? Because I only saw a couple things on Amazon.
We are working.
Okay.
Present to get everything to my website. And you can see it's quite beautiful inside as well. But the idea of this card actually came through pain, as usual. And it was they are stunning. Like, they've got this gold-plated energy and the...
Oh, wow. Beautiful art on there, too.
Yeah, and the artist that I worked with was Jenna Stella Groff. Taglia, and she's quite a well-known artist actually, and a beautiful, very intuitive one. And so, you know, essentially this card came through from loss and breakup and an opportunity for me to go, I want to reconnect with my heart, with my soul, and rebuild myself. And so I'm going to originally write love letters to my heart, but they weren't going to be, they're going to be quite raw and a bit intense, you know, acknowledging my heart for all the pain and the struggle and I guess rejection or confusion that has happened, like for many of us. Yeah. And also encouraging my heart and acknowledging it for all the courage and strength and a desire to reconnect with all these different parts of us. So I'm just going to show you. So I have this card, hopeful heart, and exciting surprises coming your way. The art is really, really beautiful. And then we've got daring heart, learn to lead from wisdom.
I love these. Oh, my gosh. Wow. I feel like this should be on a wall, too.
We've got prospering heart. Look for beauty, abundance, and generosity.
These are very
good. And, we've got reinventing heart. Get to know yourself anew.
Wow.
There's a lot of detail,
And the colors. She added so many colors, like you love.
Yeah, well, exactly. I've got divinely connected heart, meet your karma. So,
all right. That one looks
nice. It's beautiful. I absolutely love this card. Not that we want to have this experience, but just the image of it. So, rejected heart, transform your heartbreak into inner strength.
But it happens anyway, right? You will always have a situation where you're there.
Exactly. And so this is when I originally had the thought about these cards. I was like, I'm going to check them out on my partner. And I said to him, look, I know men in general and him in particular has
the over there.
Yeah, he's over there. A challenge with expressing feelings freely, because men are not taught that. And I kind of went, look, if he finds this really touching, then I'm going to call my publisher and discuss it with her. And I read him, I think, one or two cards, just ideas, letters that I wrote to myself, essentially. And he was really teary, and he just said, oh my God, that is so profound and powerful. I really think you need to do this. So yeah, this is not so much about, I'm going to do a reading about the future for myself. This is really about, I want to reflame my heart. And one of my really profound moments was with my husband, actually, it was where I was in the shower and I was feeling, a lot of hurt and pain, and the way he treated me was definitely not what I think I deserve in being treated. And since the victim like feeling that was coming through, and then another part of me was, hold on a second. When you met him, he told you all these stories about how badly he treated women, and you thought you would be different. And, because he was coming through as this victim himself, and, and then he was mad by his mother and so on and so forth. It was like, you gave your heart away to somebody that had essentially told you how you treat people. And, because you're so excited about, what you felt or the connection or whatever it was at the time, very karmic time connection. It was, there was that sense of, here's my heart, take him. And I really feel like through all these fantasy-like romantic movies, that's what we're taught, essentially, to give my heart away as opposed to, well, hold on, what's my heart worth? And is this a person that I want to share my heart with? And essentially, in that moment, I was like, in terms of taking responsibility, there was a sense of, oh, I can take responsibility because I can reclaim my heart, and I'm going to write these love letters to all these different aspects of my heart from, this kind of knowing heart, again, such a beautiful image, to, my beautiful heart, I'm going to recognize that. To my resilient heart. So there was a lot about the beauty of the heart as well as the, the pain of, of the deep heart.
Yeah, and it gets so relatable for so many people too.
Yeah.
We all dealt with some kind of, heart ache in some way or another. So it's very, and honestly, like, I feel like the heart, opening your heart is, it gets so closed up when you've had experiences like yours, or I also had like a very abusive relationship, my first marriage. And man, it was like, you had to chisel it down to be able to be able to accept love from people and receive things from people and just like open up again. So I really love those. I think that's going to be my next purchase when you get it up there. Because
I just pick a card for the audience and just maybe read.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. I do that in my group sometimes when I feel like it. It's a lot of work sometimes, but
sometimes, just the relevance of that card. So it's funny, I got a flirty, heart's path.
Ooh.
And it says, have fun engaging with your alluring nature.
Uh-oh. I gotta go.
Because you do that, you're also very, you said you're very creative, and I'm just gonna read.
We have a lot. Yeah, creative. It's a thing for sure. I have, most of my listeners are creative. So artists, photographers, I mean, honestly, it's a big umbrella of things, but that's really beautiful. And I saw like in your book too, you named that as one of the, I don't know if you said priorities of healing or something, but being able to tap into your creativity. I talk about that all the time.
Absolutely.
It helps you to be able to heal in it. It helps with your intuition, I think too, to be able to do that. So yeah. Thank you. Go ahead and read that. Sorry.
Yeah. So flirty heart, have fun engaging your alluring nature. Dear heart. And so it usually starts with, let's connect to that beautiful part of us. Dear heart, I know how much you love to play, flirt, and have fun. You adore expressing your hidden flavors and entertaining those who you find interesting. You love uncovering the juicy, secret, spicy places within your lover's and potential admirer's heart. When you open the gates to love your inner self, your inner self beautifies and swells with the warmest, sweetest sentiments. Seductive aspects that were previously asleep awaken and aliveness pulses through your veins. You want to be seen, felt, known, and adored. Affection drifts out of your core and a set of possibilities over to your aura. The mystery of your inner riches hang in the air, awaiting your next move. How fun is it to play and engage your alluring nature? Yet so often, this part which can captivate so many gets hidden or turns brazen. I'm ready, dear heart, for you to reveal to me your feminine and masculine charms, helping me to intrigue and titillate all those who appear in my romantic rendezvous. And, you know, and there's a little process for people too.
It's amazing. Also, I know that's for the audience, but it's kind of for me. I'm going to take it.
I mean, like we just talked about it. It's so, you mentioned it can be so hard to awaken those when you've been hurt, when you've been abused, when you've been shattered, when you've been called names, when you've been, I guess, seen in a way, or you know, when somebody has shared things about you in a reflective way that has been hurtful or harsh. Or my ex-husband used to say that he has, you know, that he has cruelty within him. And when we separated, oh my God, I actually saw the depth of the cruelty in this man who, you know, for years was appearing quite spiritual and who he really was. I often, you know, lots of people say it's like when it's good, it's when you break up with somebody that you really see the true nature come out. And yeah, it was very shocking to see the depth of ugliness that came out of this person that I thought I loved and who I thought loved me. And, you know, and everything that kind of he said he wouldn't do, he did. And you know, it was kind of like, wow, so I have to reclaim myself. And part of reclaiming that is, you know, the adventurous, the creative, the, you know, the loving, the sensual as well.
Uh-huh. Even if it's not outwardly, you can do that inwardly, even just
absolutely
help ignite it. I love that so much. What would you say to someone that's in that situation? Because I know that was me a long time ago, but somebody who's in like the thick of it and just realizing who they spend their time with and they're trying to move on, but yet there's still things that have to be done. Let's say a final divorce needs to happen and just different crap, you know, that kind of clouds up. Like, what would you say to them? Because I actually have a couple friends that are right in the thick of that right now. You're just like,
but you've got to find a practice that builds you back up, you know? And totally. For me, like I said, you know, the practice was journaling and actually recognizing all the parts of my heart that either were hurt or suppressed. And it's also really about, again, from my perspective, I was so intertwined with my ex-husband that I didn't even have one thought that was my own, I felt. And he was a very controlling person, but not in a way that you would expect somebody to be controlling. It was very much coming from the sideline, so to speak. And yeah, and I got to a place where I remember my friends came over from another city and they're like, what do you want to do? And I said, look, I want to go to the shops and I essentially want to buy furniture, buy art, buy things that what I'm interested in, what I like. And then, and I don't know yet. I'm like, I actually need to go. I need to go and find out what it is that speaks to me that is not, you know, this person. And
who am I really? Like, without that person in my life, rediscovering yourself, probably. That's probably a more.
Well, yeah, totally. You know, and so refinding a new practice, really, also finding like how to do things that you know, that I was like, well, I know what I like, you know, so I'm going to go to a singing class, for example, you know, and I'm going to sing with this group of people. And if I like it, I'm going to keep going. And if I don't, I'm not. I'm going to go to dance events, cacao type things that my ex-husband would have absolutely hated, looked down on, because he was very, you know, he had very particular ideas about what is spiritually enlightening and what's not. And so he was like, well, I'm going to go and do these things and breathe through the discomfort initially, hearing the judgment in my head from this person. I also think separating voice, you know, and of this person from your own voice, like, I had one particular experience, which is probably one of the worst ones, where he was, if anything, trying to get something that he wanted from me. And I just kept saying, no, I'm not going to say, I'm not agreeing to this. I'm going to be part of it. And so he started getting nasty and, you know, saying things about my children and my relationship with my children. He got to the point of attacking what I look like, what I'm, you know, and getting really, really low. And I remember by time, you know, hanging out with him essentially and just going, goodbye. I'm not going to, continue. Like, we're not even together. You think, like, in some reality, you know, that I'm going to just sit here and listen to this. That was Brian. I'm sorry. And yeah, I just remember getting into the house and being so shaken, so affected by what he said. And I told one of my friends who's, you know, who's known me for a very long time. And she's kind of like more of a mother figure to me. She's in her 70s. And she, when I called her, she was like, go and stand next to the mirror and look at yourself. These, you know, whatever he said, there's no truth in it. It's just, he knows that this is the way to hurt.
Yeah.
So he's throwing every dart that he can at you. And she said, you know, you really have to not allow it to come inside of you. And it was something, I'm not saying it didn't affect me because it did at different times, but I had, you know, worked on the boundaries, and because as he was saying, I was like, oh my God, you know, he's just not getting what he wants, so he's trying in every way he can, and his true nature of cruelty is coming out. I'm going to go home, and rather than let it settle in me, I'm going to walk through it. And what's really important is to find your way. Not everybody is into talking, you know. So some people are, you know, will write it. Some people will paint it. Some people will move through it and you know, kind of some people will run, you know, and get the energy out of the gym, or, you know, it's going to find your way.
It's so important to figure out what that is for you, because it is so different for everybody. Like, or even just walking outside barefoot, right? Like if you have some grass outside and grounding yourself, but everybody is different. I agree. And some people, maybe they just shower. I know you can like wash, you can just let it wash off of you, right? With the water. Oh man.
Totally. You know, one of the things that I do a lot of is, you know, at different times I really felt like I get deep insights in the shower. So I would get into the shower, put on very particular music. I felt like, because it's also so connected to the birthing experience. Yeah. And when you're coming out of something abusive, you know, or even, you know, it wasn't necessarily abusive during it, people can get pretty nasty during separations and when money is involved and children and all sorts of things. And to cleanse it and to, you know, like for me, it was a lot about self-love. So I had a particular playlist of self-love that I would maybe just like kind of fast probably, I don't know, 6 months of that separation, listen to while I was in the shower. you know, and then I would go and get into the shower when I needed wisdom from inside.
Yeah, I get some in there. Sometimes I like record also some affirmations that's my voice, and I'll listen to that in the shower too. And I'll just like visualize all of that. I just find that the water just, it, I don't know, it just makes it go faster. It just makes you connect better or something. I love it. I'm not even a Pisces, but I love that in a lot of ways.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for sharing that. I know that there's, I mean, I loosely follow astrology, and there's a lot going on right now with Venus. And so it's funny that love came up and the heart came up because it's, it's big right now. A lot of people are talking about it. You know, it just naturally came out, but I love those cards.
All right, friends, that is the end of part one. Go ahead and check out Spotify or your Apple Podcasts, wherever you get it. And there's going to be part two available so you can hear the rest of the conversation with Ina. All right, guys, have a beautiful day. I hope this podcast spoke to you in some way. If it did, please go ahead and leave me a review and subscribe so that I know you're enjoying what you hear. And further, if you know somebody else who owns their own creative business and struggles with anything that we spoke about, please pass this on, because it is my hope that we will be able to build a community of like-minded individuals who love on each other and appreciate the many facets that make our creative business so unique. And lastly, check out the show notes to find my free Facebook community and other useful links to work with me. All right, friend, see you soon.